Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
It's all over. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs, and the Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champions.
23 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. Fans to their feet. Bouchard has missed Dreisaitl. Down to our right. Forsling in the corner. He'll try and hold this. 10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making,
yeah!
Is a reality.
Whoa!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champions!
The Florida
That's
Panthers.
On the mountaintop. Uh-huh.
The Florida Panthers are the 2024 Stanley Cup champions.
Oh, we crossed the finish line, buddy. We crossed it. Oh, what a group of bunch of guys. Paul Maurice, congratulations. Oh, what a team. What a gutsy effort. That is some cojones, boys. Wow. Oh.
They did it. The team from the start of training camp had one goal, and that was to get back to the Stanley Cup final and finish the job. Mission accomplished. The Florida Panthers are the 2024 Stanley Cup champions. Soak it all in.
My first question, Drew, is it possible to edit out those little clips? Still, it was great. I mean, Billy Lindsay, yeah, who's the color commentator for Doug Plagans, is great call. Just such a natural reaction, as you would expect. You know, so over the top. He's a former Shark, former Panther. Shark. Big time, part of their broadcast team. And what a moment.
Yeah, you can understand the reaction that he and Randy Mulder and they have, as the color commentators and Goldie and Doug and on the radio side, they've carried the water a long time for the Florida Panthers. Back when there was nobody coming to the building, there was pick a section night. It was a hard sell in Sunrise in South Florida, because Tampa has been so good. They were overshadowed by their older brother. And it was a definitely natural release and action of celebration and emotion from Billy. I think my my play-by-play partner would have smacked me across the side of the head to shut up for a little bit. But you know what? What the hell? Good for you, Billy. Good for Doug. Good for the broadcasters. What a great moment for South Florida and the Florida Panthers.
And on the flip side, what an amazing run for the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, things were a little bit more subdued, but still filled with excitement on the Oilers side of the broadcast. And I thought I'd play that side of it, too, because we've been there in San Jose.
Yep. Now Skinner will come off with a minute 10 to go. The Oilers get the extra man on. Here's the finish of the season. A turnover. A fan. Barkov had it open net and fanned on it. Here's Bouchard. 1 minute to play in the season. 2-1 Florida game 7. Tie up on McDavid. Banked off the wall. But too hard. That should be icing. They wave it off. Oilers confused. 50 what? Seconds to go. Net empty. Bouchard right side. McDavid knocks it in. Ekblad hard up the boards. Dreisaitl knocks it down. Here's a chance for Florida. Up the right hand side. The Panthers plowing through. It's still loose. It's still wide. Rodriguez shot. Kachuk had it blocked. And here come the Oilers. Steal. Rodriguez turns. Fires wide. 20 seconds to go in the season. Game 7. Stanley Cup final. The Oilers come up ice. One last chance. Bouchard up the right hand side. Through Dreisaitl. Panthers will try to pin it in the corner. 10 seconds to go. 7 seconds. Florida 2. Edmonton 1. Oilers pulling. 2 seconds. 1 second. The season is over. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup 2-1 in Game 7.
Jack Michaels with the call there. And again, I can relate to what he was feeling at that moment. But the big difference was, is that Edmonton fought to the very end. I think McDavid, what, played 4 minutes in the last 4 minutes of the game, yeah, and didn't even get off the ice. Dreisaitl, who I think and you think has been fighting some sort of an injury, was also out there. Kudos to them for the effort that they put in getting back from a 3-0 to deficit in the series and forcing a game seven in the final for the first time since 1945.
Yeah, it was absolutely an amazing effort. It was. I was wrong, Danny. I thought I saw after game five a resurgence from the Oilers, and I thought they were going to run the table after that. But Florida, as Paul Maurice said after the game last night, they played a very Florida Panther game. And they, after the first period where they played free, finally in that game seven, after winning the first three games, they played free as they played to try to win. Paul Maurice said, we were playing to try to win. We were making plays instead of playing not to lose. And that really spurred them on. And they were able to carry it through until the end. They played a good defensive game. And really interesting, you know, as great as Connor McDavid was this playoffs, in four of the games in this series, he only put the puck in the net in two of those games. Now, he did, you know, he had 8-9 points in those games as well, but he and Leon in the big games just couldn't find a way to score. And I'm not blaming them. I'm saying that's terrific defense by the Florida Panthers.
Well, it was. And as they say, defense wins championships, and we got another proof of it. What was also really interesting to see was not only the, you know, just the enthusiasm and the return to that defensive style of hockey that Florida has been playing was really evident in this game, but also a guy that really deserves to win the Stanley Cup, Sergei Bobrovsky, who had a couple of blips in the time capsule in those three losses, came up with a brilliant, brilliant game in game seven.
He certainly did. He made, in the third period, I counted three high danger chances, two of them on McDavid's stick, that he was able to stop, especially near the end of the game. He was absolutely fabulous. The bounce back, right? You and I talked about it a couple of shows ago. The game is always about, the playoffs always seem to be about the response, the counterpunch. You get gut punched, and then you've got to find a way to come back. And the Florida Panthers, who were on the ropes, they really were. They regrouped, reconnected, and were able to come up with a solid, solid effort.
Well, we've given you the calls of the finish for both sides, but we're getting a little out of order. I thought I'd go through some of the plays that happened in the game. Yeah. First of all, Carter Verhaeghe getting things started very early in the first period. And that got a very interesting crowd in South Florida, kind of energized in different ways, because there were a lot of Oiler fans that flew down for this game, but the Florida Panthers fans were cheering loudly.
Verhaeghe, far side of the ice, down to the corner. Verhaeghe works the end boards then, has in the trapezoid. Rodriguez near side. The power play's over. Shot tip. They score. Rodriguez got it on net. It was tipped out in front, and the Panthers have the first one here in game seven. 15:33 to go in the first, and the Panthers are on the board. It was Carter Verhaeghe in front getting a stick on it.
What a playoff he had.
And they call him Mr. Clutch, right? And in this series, especially in games 4, 5, and 6, those Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, Bennett, those guys went a little quiet. That shot on that tip is such a great tip. And Paul Maurice said about Carter Verhaeghe is that he's the best in chaotic situations. He's in front of the net. That shot's going wide. How he deflected that, I've got no idea. What a beautiful deflection for the big first goal.
Meanwhile, Edmonton would get things even, and on breakaways, Matthias Janmark was pretty deadly this playoffs.
He'll whistle it in deep. They'll give him center. Tarasenko slashing around the boards, only to see that disrupted by CeCe. Beautiful pass. Breakaway. Shot score. What a finish. And Edmonton has tied it up brilliantly. And who else but Matthias Janmark?
Yeah, he had a great playoff, too, and that was part of that third line, so to speak, that Edmonton desperately needed. It's one of the reasons why they came back in this series, and it's one of the reasons why they even got to the final.
Brown, Janmark, Henrique, Fogel, those depth guys, which we questioned about the Edmonton Oilers, we've been questioning for years. They showed, those guys showed that they were more than just Connor and Leon and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. They did a really great job in getting the Oilers back into this series.
Yeah, and all those players that you mentioned, you could throw Holloway in there too. They all
right,
did
I'm sorry,
really,
right, yeah.
really, really good job throughout the course of the seven games. And on that play too, Cody Ceci, you know, in and out of the lineup sometimes. This was quite a learning experience for him, obviously, and for all of the Oilers, but a really nice pass on that play to spring Janmark. But the play of the series, the play of the playoffs has got to be the series and Stanley Cup winner. It had been a while since Reinhardt had scored a goal, but Sam was going to get one here. But I want to talk about, after we listen to the call to this, what happened just before that.
Out to the right point for Ceci. Down along the boards, then Dreisaitl. Fogel cuts out front. And a save, Bobrovsky. And then it's pushed away out of harm's way by Kulikov. And the Panthers break it out quickly. Here's Reinhardt at the right wing side. Reinhardt to the right circle. A shot. And he scores! Sam Reinhardt gives the Panthers a 2-1 lead here in Game 7. 4:49 to play here in the middle frame. And Sam Reinhardt out of the right circle gives the Panthers the lead.
All right, so Sam Reinhardt, who's had an unbelievable year all the way through, in a bit of a scoring drop because everybody was keying on him, managed to get that one past Skinner. But the just a little moment there in front of the net, Dmitry Kulikov, who was drafted by the Panthers, actually played there when Pete DeBoer was the coach there, played through some miserable seasons for that team. And ended up saving a goal right there. I mean, I don't think that Doug had time to give it justice what he actually accomplished during the call, and that happens a lot. But he saved the goal. There's no
yes.
question about it. And then he gets it up ice, and they come right up, and Reinhardt scores. What a moment!
It was a huge moment. I'm watching the game with my Michelle, my lovely wife, and she went, "Oh, what a moment that is! That's going to change the game." And she was absolutely right, but. I believe it was Dreisaitl who was right there ready to pounce on that loose puck, if I remember correctly. Kulikov sweeps it out of the way, and then bang, gets up ice. Great middle drive right through the net to screen Skinner from Carter Verhaeghe. Perfect shot. Really well done by the Florida Panthers on the counter, but you're absolutely, as usual, 100% right. That play by Kulikov won them the Stanley Cup.
And the other part of this play, and it was pointed out by Mark Messier on the U.S. telecast between periods, was that they had the third D pair out there for Edmonton. It was Kulak that was backing up, and it looked as if he backed up a little bit too much. There was just a little bit too much space there for Reinhardt. I'm not sure that I would have said that, but looking at the replays when Messier was describing it, it seemed like that the big guy was right.
Yeah, to me, it was too much gap, but he didn't play it too badly. Where you've got to, I think, and my sons and I talked about it last night, I think your middle drive by Verhaeghe is the key. I think your weak side D-man, Brett Hennigan would know better than me, I think he's got to slide over the middle and block that path going in. Because as the play went deeper into the zone, that pass was no way it was going to get across to the weak side. So I think your D can slide over, and your third man coming back certainly should have the wide post. But I look at the play by Verhaeghe on that middle drive, the play by Kulikov to start it all off, and a really well-timed shot. Hedy talks about timing on shots all the time, right? You know, shooting the puck at the right time, and that's what Reinhardt was able to do.
And, of course, they couldn't have won the Stanley Cup without some big saves that you mentioned earlier, Drew, by Sergei Bobrovsky in the third.
McDavid out to the line, a drive and a save made by Bobrovsky that time on Bouchard. Dreisaitl up top, Ekholm across one time, Bouchard, save made by Bobrovsky with the pad. Out to the line again, Bouchard. He'll hold it for the Oilers, long shot in front of chance, whacked at, and somehow, some way, that stays out of the net.
Oh my goodness, wow.
What a pileup down there, and somehow Bobrovsky on top of it, and Zach Hyman looked like he had a wide open net, and he wasn't able to cash in, and the Panthers remain up a goal with 7:02 to go here in the third.
Pretty chaotic scramble in front of the net, and Bobrovsky ends up diving off to his right. I think the defense did a really good job in kind of delaying the opportunity there, and that's what might have kept it out.
Yeah, it really was. On that play, Brandon Montour, who had struggled in the final series, but especially in games four, five, and six. He was strong last night. He made a really strong play on Hyman's stick to prevent him from really getting full wood on that shot.
And so the game ended. A 2-1 victory for the home team, the Florida Panthers, once again for the first time since 1945. A team in the Stanley Cup Final, this case the Oilers, fought back from a 3-0 deficit to force this Game 7. But as was the case in 1945, the team with the home ice ended up winning it. It was the Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup champions. And right after that, Gary Bettman came onto the ice to his usual response. And he ended up announcing the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. A lot of people thought it was going to be Bobrovsky, but maybe after Game 5 of this series, you have to remember that the totality of the playoffs, not the Stanley Cup Final, is what the Conn Smythe Trophy is based on. And in the losing cause, Connor McDavid, the first player in NHL history to have back-to-back four-point games in the final, was it 42 points that he scored in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Broke Wayne Gretzky's record for most assists in a playoff year. And he is in the pantheon of the greatest players ever, in my opinion, after this playoff run. And yes, disappointing for him, but there's no doubt he's going to be back.
Well, you certainly think he will. And maybe it's the old story when the Islanders won their fourth cup in a row against the Edmonton Oilers. And Wayne Gretzky talked about in his book how when the Oilers walked past that Islander dressing room, he thought they'd see celebrations inside, that the guys would be jumping up and down and pouring champagne all over. Instead, he looked in and he saw ice bags on everybody. And the guys just from the Islanders just spent. And he thought, well, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to win. There is some criticism right now in Canada going around about Connor McDavid not coming out on the ice to accept the Conn Smythe.
I don't blame him for that, actually.
I don't blame him either. First of all, you suffered the biggest gut punch of your career and the biggest moment of your NHL career. You suffer a shot and it's hard to come back from. Second, you want to spend the time with your teammates no matter what. I think of Jamie Benn in that locker a couple of years ago, just sitting in his locker, still in his equipment, hour plus after they lost in the finals. The other aspect is, I think it was a sign of respect by Connor, and no disrespect to Mr. Bettman or the trophy. I think it was a respect by Connor to say, hey, let Florida have their moment. They earned it. That's what I'm thinking anyway. Maybe I'm wrong, but I knowing Connor a little bit like I do, he's not a disrespectful guy. He just suffered a gut punch, and the same time he didn't want to take the shine from the Florida Panthers in their crowd.
Now, let's not forget, it's very unusual for a player on the losing side to get the Conn Smythe Trophy. In fact, McDavid is only the second skater to actually get it. The other one was Reggie Leach for the Philadelphia Flyers back in the 1970s, one of those losses to the Montreal Canadiens. But Reggie Leach, the former California Golden Seal, was spectacular for the Flyers in that playoff run. I can remember Ron Hextall won it. The rest of the guys are all goalies. Roger Crozier, and then of course J.S. Jaguar is another one. That's the most recent one. But who's the other one?
Glenn Hall.
Right.
So Crozier, Glenn Hall, J.S. Jaguar, Ronnie Hextall against the Edmonton Oilers, Reggie Leach, and Connor McDavid. So it's all usually. I think I remember Hextall being out there. But again, I don't blame Connor for that. I don't think it was a sign of disrespect or classlessness. It was just. He was the first in line to shake hands with the guys. He waits for his team to go off, gives them all a hug, goes in the room. And I think it was, and if I remember correctly, Reggie Leach got it backstage way back when they handed it out. And Jaguar and Hextall were out in the ice. I obviously don't remember Crozier and Hull. But overall, I don't think it was a disrespectful move. I just think Connor had like I said, two decisions. One, this sucks. This hurts more than anything. And two, let Florida have their time.
That's a pretty appropriate way to look at it. And again, you have to feel for McDavid in that situation.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
And so now it's time to get some reactions and get some thoughts on what's going on in the world of hockey. Crazy week. We've got round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs on Friday, the 28th. Drew, you will be back in San Jose, and we will have a very special show starting at 3:30 in the afternoon Pacific time, right from the draft party on the floor. We're expecting 12,000 fans approximately to celebrate Celebrini. And let's not forget, there's another draft pick in that first round. The San Jose Sharks have 14th overall. It's going to be very important. And I think we're going to be in for some fascinating drama this week, depending on whether the Sharks can trade up if they want to, feel like they don't have what they want there, trade back, get more assets, or just select the player.
Yeah, I'm excited, Danny. I can't wait to get on the plane on Thursday, so I'll be there. Be with you and Ted Ramey, and we're going to be talking to our fans. Love that the fans are coming out supporting this. There's a good feeling right now about the Sharks, that, you know, the teardowns happen, the buildup is starting, and this is a huge, huge moment. Celebrini coming to the San Jose Sharks, there's no secret that's who the Sharks are going to draft, and it's going to be a situation where we start to feel good about the teal again, right? We start to feel like, okay, here we go. Maybe we're restarting and good things are happening. And I think they are.
I agree with you 100%. I'm very excited about the show. I'm excited about the draft. I'm excited about day two of the draft. Sharks have four picks at the moment in the top 42. And I think that they're going to take a major step forward. You combine that with the last 2 years of drafts. And then even next season, Drew, where the Sharks have two first round picks. This is a really exciting time for the Sharks to crystallize that next core group. And let's hope that they are able to be as successful as they've seemed to have been so far.
Well, it's you and I, how long have we talked, Danny? A couple of years now, 3 years now that we've been talking about the way that you, in today's NHL, you can't go out and buy a bunch of free agents and bring them in to get yourself going in the right direction. You have to draft and develop. And the first step of that is key drafting. And we've seen some payoff. We've seen some payoff with Eklund and Bortolo. We've seen some payoff with some really good trades Mike has made, brought some guys in, traded some assets away, brought some good players in. There's you can see the evidence starting to mount up, and getting a player like Celebrini. I was reading an article from a scout talking about Celebrini and where he is. He tags him. And this is a Justin Bourne, he's on Sportsnet, tags him as an elite franchise player in the likes of Connor Bedard, but he's got more size than Bedard, which I really like. So I'm excited to see Celebrini in a teal uniform.
It's been a really interesting discussion over the last couple of weeks. I've heard Sam Cosentino talked about this on the NHL Network and on Sirius XM satellite radio. The difference between what they call a generational player, which Connor McDavid clearly is, Wayne Gretzky, players like that, and what they call a franchise player, which would be like Jonathan Toews. They're putting Macklin Celebrini into that category. Sidney Crosby is probably he's on the borderline of being a generational player, but he's definitely a franchise player. That's the kind of guy that I think the Sharks are getting. So that's really exciting. And Mike Rear also was talking a little bit, Drew, about what kind of players he's looking for in this draft other than the obvious one.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned a little bit. We still got to keep looking to add some character and compete to the group. You know, we do need some scoring on the wings, most likely, and maybe some center help to take some pressure off of, you know, Granny and Will and stuff like that. So, you know, we want to be flexible. I think we're in a good spot where some of our centers have the capability to play wing too and move up and down the lineup. So. A little bit of scoring and some compete as well.
And getting some competition from the acquisition of Barkley Goodrow from the New York Rangers on waivers. That was just a really, really big moment for the Sharks. Of course, Goodrow did not have the Sharks on his I can trade you to that team list, but Mike Rear doesn't think too much about that.
You know, from his standpoint, I think he was probably, you know, shocked about you know, how things went down there at the end of the day in New York. I know he enjoyed his time there, and you know, when you look at his point of view since he left here, you know, he's won two cups and played in two conference finals. So you know, I think it was just a little bit of a shock to the system and something that you know, emotionally was hard for him, but you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, there's some excitement to come back here and, you know, be around the group where he's still friends with Logan and you know, even Jumbo and some other people in the office. And, you know, I think the fans love him here and I think he knows that. So, you know, I, as far as role goes, I think, you know, he's got the winning pedigree. He came up the hard way here, kind of worked his way up with not being drafted. And so the character, compete, and doing the right things on the ice and off the ice are very important for us to add to our group and to have around our young players. So, you know, the value that he has is it's kind of priceless, really.
A lot of stick taps, in my opinion, to Mike Greer for getting that put together.
You could understand, Sharks fans can understand, Barkley Goodrow would have been hurt by that move with the New York Rangers because he wants to be in a winning environment and competing. 31 years old, as you said, come up the hard way. And so we can all understand how Barkley would want to stay with a team that's got a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Sharks aren't there yet, but Barkley will be a huge, huge piece of helping rebuild the Sharks to be a team. His payoff for the Sharks will be obviously the way he plays, the character that he brings, but also how he shows the younger guys, this is what you got to do in order to get to where you want to get. His effect on the Sharks, I think, will be long lasting when he gets here and he gets to the point where he's really contributing on and off the ice. I think it's going to be it's a great move by Mike.
Also a great move by Mike Greer, and the fact that it was possible is also incredible. The return of Mike Potenza to the San Jose Sharks organization to provide additional support and supervision in the strength, conditioning, and training and nutrition part. And in fact, the Sharks will be hiring a new medical trainer. And Mike Greer told the media yesterday that he will be, Potenza will be on the list of people that provide input for that.
Yeah, we're still working on it. Mike will definitely have a part in the hiring process. So we're really excited to bring him back. He's a really intelligent guy, knows his craft, hardworking. And he's, for you guys who know him, I don't have to tell you, he's one of the best people you're ever gonna meet. So we're really excited to have him. I think he's gonna really help our strength and conditioning staffs, our athletic trainers on both the Sharks and Barracuda. So I'm really excited to have him. And you know, he'll be a part of all these hirings.
A great man, right, Drew?
Yeah, Mikey's fantastic. I'm so happy he's back. And again, bringing back people who were with the Sharks, have got some great character, great personalities, and above all, they're really good at their jobs.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We'd like to get some reactions from the ice surface after the game and inside the press room area. Paul Maurice, I think, put his feelings best on Sportsnet when he talked about his thoughts on winning.
This is brilliant, right? It's I've never hugged so many sweaty men in my entire life. I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it tonight. So, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much better. But it's the hugs, man. I saw Sam Bennett smile today, first time in 2 years. It's brilliant. You know, it's for my mom and dad in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, my brothers Mike and Shane in Sault Ste. Marie and Waterloo, the whole Langlois clan in LaSalle, Ontario, all of the people that suffered through 30 years of me losing, making excuses, mom and dad especially. Hey, Dad, your name's going up with your heroes. Belleville, Richard, Hal, Lindsay, Maurice.
And as somebody who has a plaque in the Hockey Hall of Fame, I know exactly what he's talking about because I saw my dad take a look at it too.
Danny, I can't imagine what that feeling's like. Good for Paul. What a great thing to say. And you two, accomplishing something that very few people get to accomplish, right?
Right.
It's amazing. And like you said, you know what that feeling's like. And I guess that's the first thought, right? It goes out to everybody. Evan Rodriguez said the same thing. First thing he thought about was his family.
Well, you're part of the big family here too, Drew, and it's been an amazing playoff run to do these shows with you. I want to thank you so much for that, and to all Sharks fans for listening in. We've got a lot of great things coming up. We certainly have a draft party show and many things happening over the course of the next few months. So see you soon.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.